Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Episode 426, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Thomas Vanek going to join us. Sabres with a big win last night. Jeff Skinner with a hat trick. Tage Thompson, 3 points, right? He had 3 points.
Absolute scud missile that he threw top shelf. First shot of the game. Boom, shakalaka.
Nice pass to Tuck. Nice shot
from Tuck. Yep.
Well, no, you're talking nice pass from Tuck to Thompson, but I'm talking about Thompson's pass to Tuck on Tuck's goal.
Yeah. Good times when you got your top players producing, right? You know, obviously being scored on, 24 seconds into the game, responding the very next shift, Tage Thompson, unbelievable shot, followed it up by an Alex Tuck, you know, a Jeff Skinner.
When that shot went in, the first shot, I tweeted goodnight from our show, got up, shut the lights off in the kitchen, came back to turn the TV off, head upstairs.
Yep.
1-1. And by that point, now we're getting abused on our social media account, by the way, for saying goodnight. Like literally people saying, go fuck yourself. But that's okay. So it forced me to stay up and watch the game.
Well, I didn't even watch the game. I didn't watch it live. I taped it. I woke up in the morning early, got to watch the game. Watch the game fully and enjoyed it immensely with a hot cup of coffee.
Well, I'm happy for you.
That's kind of my thing. Like I, you know, what, why would I want to stay up till like 12:30 and watch this? And, you know, I enjoy being able to kind of like take a step back. You know, I do not know the score of the game when I wake up in the morning and I just go directly to the TV, cup of coffee, and sit down. I love it. I absolutely love watching this team the next morning when they're out west.
We have to get into the goaltender conversation with Thomas, what they're going to do tonight in Vancouver. UPL played last night, and it'll be interesting to see what decision Don Granato makes for the game tonight with goaltending.
I think it's a no-brainer.
Well, I look forward to hearing what you have to say. because yesterday we disagreed, but I think today is a much different situation than it was yesterday. Ben, I know you're not really active on social media, but did you see the Claude Giroux slap shot goal that's been buzzing around? You were all over the internet last week.
I was. I'm not very active. I did see the highlight because, you know, the boys have NHL tonight on. So I brought back a couple memories.
A couple. And they a couple of those were bombing around the internet the other day, and they fell in our lap.
Nice.
And it's like, and someone tweeted to us saying, I can't remember, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something like, we have the rights to the originator or something like that, or, you know, not a very common move.
No, to be honest, I didn't start this till probably maybe in the AHL because of Millsy. That was probably why I started the slap shot. Like in juniors and college hockey, I deked a lot, or it was just the around the world kind of deal where I, you know, swipe around the puck and go high glove, but I was always a deker. And if I did shoot, that was my go-to shooting move. And then as I moved up and got to know Ryan and be on a team with him and Roch, and he was, you know, even at that time, the best goalie I ever played with or played against. And I'm like, God, none of my moves are really working on this guy. But I'm like, I got my half clapper. I'm pretty confident in it. I'm like, I'm just going to shoot from farther out because I have more net and so I can beat him.
You guys are just messing around after practice. You just walk in and rip one on Millsy.
Yeah. And I would do, you know, and different drills too, and 3-on-2 drills from the outside. I'm like, I can go post and then from here. So, I mean, I use the slapper all the time, not just on shootouts. I will come down that, you know, right side, and I could see a little spot on the blocker. I'm like, I can hit that spot.
How little is that spot, Vanner? Like that spot to Petey and I is just so tiny.
Yeah, just like, it's funny. Before you answer that, as you're speaking, I'm saying in my head, I'm like, all I'm thinking is hit the net.
Exactly. Shoot for a rebound.
The thing is, it wasn't when I saw it, it wasn't really a spot I saw from the right side for me as a right-handed shot. What I saw is the post was wide open, and I knew I could hit the post and in.
Okay. My move would definitely 1,000 because I know for a fact I was thinking, I remember one game that I was in, I think it was actually in Buffalo where we went. Like, I mean, we had to have gone to like 12 or 13 players. And I was thinking to myself, once we got to that, I was like, holy shit, man, I might have to shoot. I might have to shoot. I might be up because I know I'm going to be ahead of Petey, so like I'm going to be going at least 17th, right?
Which was bad coaching,
right?
It was bad coaching. Know your cuts of meat, man. Know your fucking cuts of meat. I should have been in the top 7 on any team. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would agree. Maybe the first couple of years when we played together, 8 or 9, but after that, top 7 for sure.
I was working on that. They went to Henrik Tallinder instead.
Yeah, they did.
And it worked. Or Tony.
You laughed, though. Henrik Tallinder, Tony Ludman, all the friggin' European defensemen, Spacho. Like, I mean, all those guys had sick skills. Like, it could very easily.
I remember Spacho scored one. He went in a shootout one time. He went way wide and slow. And then came in and then just kind of ripped it far low. Low blocker.
Well, slow wasn't very, very hard for a spot, Joe.
Sorry.
I'm just always amazed when you bring this shit up. How do you remember any of this? I have no idea.
I was sober when I was on the bench, man.
My memory is terrible until someone brings something up. But even now you bring it up, I don't remember Spacho ever on a penalty shot.
I do. It wasn't a penalty shot. It was a shootout.
Oh, a shootout. Yeah.
I do remember it. I absolutely do. When do you know what you're doing?
Most of the time, top of the circles.
And what are you looking
for? I know some guys that I played with, they would ask me, like, oh, what are you going to do in this goalie? I'm like, I don't know. whatever comes to my mind, top of the circles. Where, right. How is he positioned? How I come in? At what speed I come in? And then I make.
Do you ever take a penalty shot on or a shootout on Brodeur?
I have no idea.
No, just no. Because when I played with him, I remember I watched him, and he used to shake his glove at guys.
Yeah, like
he wouldn't do it in a game, but he would come in on him, and he'd be, and all of a sudden a guy would get to the top of the circles, and Marty would start like shaking his glove like this, and he would try to rattle the guy.
Yeah, and I do remember him doing that. There was another goalie who would do the fake poke check, you know, coming and moving his stick back and forth. And I don't know. To me, none of that stuff rattled me.
That would rattle me, man. I'm not going to lie. If I ever had to take a shootout, I would have one move in my mind. It's either going to work or it doesn't. And I can guarantee you I'm not missing the net. It's going to be a five-hole shot, baby. It's either going in or it's not.
Then I'm sure the second the goalie sees you come over the bench to take the shot, he probably knows the same thing.
I'm not even going to entertain going after that. Okay. I'm just going to leave as is.
But there's guys I played with, like I just mentioned, they asked me, like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I have no idea. I'm like, why? What are you thinking? Oh, I'm going to come in with my backhand and go five hole. I'm like, so you made up your mind already? He goes, yep. I'm like, why? Just wait and see what he does. Is he playing deep? Is he out farther? Is this? Is his glove down? Is his glove up?
What do you think of the Kuznetsov night? Really, really slow. He gets booed for it. He just did it in Toronto.
Or the Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Patty Kane doing too, the same thing.
Kaner came in with speed and then he slowed down, right? Which, I mean, what Kuznetsov is doing is boring as hell, but it's effective because for a goalie, that is super tough to be patient, right? To stay up. So, I mean, obviously, you got to have the right hands to do it and the right skill set. And obviously, you know, Kuznetsov has it. Kaner obviously has it. Not many guys can probably do that. They would fumble the puck.
I hate it. I hate when he does it. Drives me fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but you brought up his name. I don't know how much Carolina games you watch. I don't watch a ton of them, but I have watched more because I'm buddies with Guentzel. That team is playing some unbelievable hockey right now. And Kuznetsov fits in perfectly right now.
It started with that win in Toronto when Guentzel scored the shootout winner. And that's the game I'm talking about where he came in, where Kuznetsov came in really slow. I think it was just last week, this game. He came in really slow, and then Guentzel went in and brought Sidney Crosby's move over to Carolina and did the leg kick backhand.
Yeah, no, he's, give him credit. That Kuznetsov came into Carolina with a new mindset, and he's playing some good hockey. Fits in perfectly with that team.
Yep. Six games, two goals, 4 points, plus five. And I mean, what an absolute steal. Like, we're talking a guy that is, he's an elite player. If he can get his self back together for this playoff run, but that makes them like, when you think of the Carolina Hurricanes, the one thing that they lacked was that dynamic offensive player. Jake Guentzel is that times 100. And now you add in, and they basically had to give nothing for him, is Evgeny Kuznetsov. I mean, this team had their defense is fantastic, probably the best in the league. And this overall team is going to be very, very tough to beat moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you look back at the series against Florida, right? The one thing that was missing was the timely scoring. And now they just added two offensive weapons to already a skill team, in my opinion. I don't think they get a lot of credit, right? I mean, an Aho, Svechnikov, the Natchez, like the Jarvis, they have a lot of really good offensive players. And now they just added two more extremely skilled guys.
They're skilled, but they're held accountable.
Yep.
And they all
play the right way. And you said that Kuznetsov, I mean, sure, it was a little bit of a, you know, do we want to do this? Do we not? Because of the struggle he has had. But for what do they pay him, right? What is he making? Seven? And now I think Washington retained half his salary. I mean, find me a better player that's motivated at 3.5 right now in the league.
Motivated for $3.5 million? That's an easy one. The best player, Celino Law. They're motivated to get you the most money for your personal injuries or a car crash. So if you've been hurt in a car crash, need a personal injury attorney, you know who to call. If you need Celino Law, call 888-888-8888. Their motivation is to get you what you deserve. Speaking of motivation, how about the Sabres? Where has this team been? And I don't know if it's just because the cord sucked at the start or the Sabres were just really good, but we didn't see this team in Detroit.
Seattle sucked, man. Seattle, and I haven't watched a whole lot of Seattle games. Only the games that they've kind of played the Sabres, which they've spanked the Sabres around in the first four games that they've played them in the existence. But I'm going to tell you right now, watching Seattle looked like an expansion team. They look like they're, you know, lost. They don't have a whole lot of offense. Their goaltending last night was absolutely horrendous. Tage Thompson's first shot went in. It was an absolute laser. But that goaltender couldn't save a beach ball last night. Gets pulled, and you know, the Sabres look like they're confident, look like they're having fun, and that's a good way to continue to you know, go on their path here, because the next games on this road trip are massive.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the only thing I'm going to add, and Petey said, we're kind of, I guess I don't want to put words in your mouth, but he said, where has this team been, right? I mean, the last weeks they have played confident hockey again, right? Making plays, scoring goals. And to me, it's exactly, it shows you, it's a young group that's 2-3 weeks ago, I believe in their mind, they're still battling, but your mindset switches. I think we're out of this race. Let's just play. And now they're just playing again. And the good thing, or the lucky thing for them, is that all these other teams in front of them, I've never seen this before. Like five teams fighting probably for one spot, and all of them suck.
Yeah, I would say six teams are in there, Vanner. You have Washington, yeah. You have Detroit, the Islanders, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and New Jersey are all within that striking
yeah, you're
distance, right?
You know, I think Tampa is the one team that the last week is playing good hockey. But even them at 78 points, they're not
they're
I think
not
they
safe.
Might be too
– They're not safe.
They're not safe, no, because Detroit's there still around 4 points, right? But that's the one team where I'm like – they might be too far out of reach with this little amount of games left. But like I said, I've never seen a race where every team has sucked. It's absolutely insane, you know? But then again, yesterday, Washington, I don't know how they're winning, yeah. But then somehow they put wins together.
Well, you know, I asked that question, you know, when you look at Washington and you kind of scratch your head saying, how is this team even coming close to winning hockey games? They got rid of arguably their number one center in Kunetsov. They lost Backstrom, who is basically a massive part of that offense. Now they've missed him the last, you know, year and a half, but they miss him. They traded away, I think, their leading scorer in Anthony Mantha. Like, I don't understand how this team, like if you go to their team right now, Vanner and mm-hmm. Petey, there's going to be kids on this team that you've never heard of. And
yeah, but that's just right now though. I mean, it's like there's, like you said, there's still a lot of hockey left. Washington's not going to make it. They're not going to get in. Can we agree on that?
No, I don't.
I would not say that at all. I think right now they're finding ways to win.
Yeah.
You know, on paper, they certainly do not look like a playoff hockey team, but they're finding ways to win. You know, like, okay, here's the statement. You said that you don't feel that they're going to make it. Out of the teams that are currently playing, Petey, Who are going to be the two wild card spots in your opinion?
Tampa, Detroit.
Vanner?
Yeah, Tampa one, and then two, I have no idea. Because on a nightly basis, I'm like, oh, this team really wants it. They're good. And then they suck again. Like, there's no – I have no – to me, it's a complete coin flip. I have no idea. Like, tonight's going to be a fun night because all these teams are playing. So
right,
I can say –
and it's scoreboard watch like crazy. It's yeah, not so, just
– you know, I can say here today that the Islanders are going to grab it. And the Islanders lose. Detroit wins. Pitt wins. Buffalo wins. You're like, oh, there goes that. So, you know, every
you
night
that,
now
that
it's
Pitt
just,
Devils
it's
game,
fun.
That Pitt Devils game will go into overtime. So everyone gets a point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just, it's been. It's...
The Hurricanes play the Islanders. That's good. And, you know, lucky enough, the Red Wings have the Blue Jackets. So that's always great.
I think you want the Devils to beat Pittsburgh. I do not see Blue Jackets beating the Detroit Red Wings. I think the Detroit with the win over Buffalo the other night was a bit of a stabilizer for the team because the team had done so poorly. Like, they lost a lot of games in their last 10 games.
But then they lose the next night again to Pittsburgh. Like, Detroit, they're 2-8 in their last 10.
Yeah, yeah.
I have zero confidence in that team right now. The only thing that team need, they need Larkin back. It just shows you how much they really miss him.
He's everything to the team, right?
Yes.
Like, and then you look at the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes have been on fire. They played very, very well, and they're playing the Islanders. You absolutely 1,000% need the Hurricanes to win that game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big, big night, a back-to-back night with the Sabres. You know what I love about their team and what they did last night, and I don't know if you guys looked into this, is how they played their players last night. I thought this was really important. Like, the defense, for an example, Bowen Byram and Rasmus Dahlin are used to playing 26, 27 minutes a night. Last night, Rasmus Dahlin played 20, 30, Bowen Byram 21, 26. That is a really, really good sign because it allowed those players not to be overtaxed going into a back-to-back game.
Oh, for sure. I mean, did you? I did not dive into the numbers as you did, but I would assume a lot of those minutes down were because they're up 5-2 after two periods, right?
That's right, and it allots, you know,
that's
the coaching staff. You know, Connor Clifton played 20 minutes and 45 seconds and Jacob Bryson played 19:09.
Mm-hmm.
That gave an opportunity to give that third pairing unit more ice time, probably about 4 or 5 more minutes than what they're used to. And it gives you that time to take away ice time away from Rasmus Dahlin and Bowen Byram, who obviously played 25 minutes plus. So really good coaching decisions by the coaching staff. And the same thing went with the forward line. You know, you have, you know, multiple players. You know, for an example, Tage Thompson played 14:50 last night. Alex Tuch, 17 minutes. Alex Tuch has been playing upwards of 20 minutes in most of these games. So this is a good thing going into the next game where you need those fresh legs to play against the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay, so you're crediting the coaching with some ice time. They have a big decision to make tonight, and it has not been announced. I don't want to say that it's a mystery, but I think Don Granato alluded to Devon Levi playing in Vancouver tonight.
Yep.
And I think they were going to monitor his workload in the game, see how he feels, all of that stuff. And yesterday in our group chat, because it wasn't confirmed until later in the day, but yesterday in our group chat, I wrote to you guys, UPL tonight and Levi tomorrow versus Vancouver. And then I wrote, let's ride. And then Thomas, you wrote, if UPL wins tonight, then he needs to play tomorrow. And then I said, you think? Not sure that's the plan though. And then you said, at this point of the season, there shouldn't be a plan. Keep pushing until you're out. I said, I like it. Greg writes back, thumbs down, Levi. Sorry, thumbs down again, Levi and Van.
Yeah, I completely disagree. This kid has played really well in the minors. You aren't playing Abbotsford tonight. You're playing the Vancouver Canucks, and you have a goalie that's been hot, has been winning games. It's a 6-2 game. You're battling for your life. You got to go with your number one guy.
No matter what.
No matter what.
And in no circumstance is UPL going to not want to play.
Oh, 100%. I don't know the kid, but he doesn't want to give up the net. You don't think he's pissed from what the start of the season of how they treated him? He wants every single game from here on out. And he should get every single game from here on out.
I am going to totally disagree with that. I honestly believe that Devin Levi is not in a situation where he was at the start of the year, where they were rotating three goaltenders, which was a friggin' joke. Stupid decision on that, but let's not get into it. He got sent to the minors because he wasn't performing up to the level. Okay. They need to give this kid an opportunity to play multiple games in a row to get into the rhythm. Well, if you've read anything about this young guy in the minors, he has been, without question, one of the biggest and brightest spots in the minors, okay? He has played very well, and I'm very, very comfortable with saying that I don't care that he's playing minor league teams and having success. A goaltender with confidence in the minors can easily play in the NHL. We've seen Devin Levi do incredible things in some games in the NHL. I think he's hungry. He's been called up for a reason. I think this kid is a big game player.
Now, just to be clear, we're not talking about Levi over Comrie or Comrie over UPL tonight or any of that conversation from yesterday. This is separate because they won now. Yesterday's conversation is different than today's conversation.
So what would be the conversation if today, they would have lost?
But they won. The conversation if they lost doesn't matter. So now you have to figure out how to keep on winning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 100%, Petey. It's you're 4 points out. You have to win every night. That's the way you have to look at this. So if you make the playoffs, Rivs, who's your game one starter?
UPL. It's undeniable. Not even close.
So why wouldn't you play him tonight when you have to win?
Because I think at this point in time, I know UPL has played so well. He has really played well, but he has also played a lot more hockey than what he has ever played. I think a rested, hungry, and I mean hungry, Devin Levi could be a big boost for this team coming into the lineup. He's an extremely well-liked kid in the room. I know that those guys want to play well in front of him. And I know Devin Levi, who I think is a very, very good goaltender, could be a kid that could absolutely steal a game for the Buffalo Sabres. I really believe that.
Did you watch the Capitals Calgary game at all?
I didn't watch any of it. No. What happened?
Do you know who played in goal for the Flames?
I don't. Because I know Markstrom. I know Markstrom's hurt right now. Yeah. So
Dustin Wolf, I think that's his name.
Okay.
What do you know about him?
I don't know anything about him, to be honest.
Back-to-back AHL goalie of the year.
Okay.
And still hasn't found his.
His game?
His game at the NHL level, because it's different. So you're telling me that a Levi, who I think he is a good goalie, plays in the minors for the last 4 weeks and does well, that he should be playing over UPL, who's winning NHL games and bringing this team back into a race where a month ago no one fought there would be even a race?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I do understand your point of rest and this. At this time of the year, you can't rest. You have to push. You got to push. You got to push. And when you have a number one guy, you play him. You give the best chance to your defenseman, to your forwards. It's a disservice if he doesn't play.
I can be talked off this ledge, Vanner. Honestly, I could really be talked off the ledge. If Devin Levi has an opportunity to play in this game, I think that he's playing for so much more than just winning a hockey game. He's playing to show this entire organization, to show the players on the team, to show himself that he is NHL ready to make a step next year into this lineup. And I think you can do that
four games from now if you lose the next three, and then you know you're out. But right now, it's not the time to tinker around. I just don't.
Do you think at all about a fatigue factor when you're traveling, and you're going from out, you're going from east all the way out west?
You're already out
playing
west.
A game.
The travel from Seattle to Vancouver is 30 minutes.
I'm talking about the travel going from Buffalo to Seattle. Plays the game. There's a 3-hour time change. There's going to be a fatigue factor. There's going to be maybe a dehydration thing. He plays very well in that game. Wasn't really overly taxed, even though they had 34 shots. For that matter, is it the time where you have a rested, healthy, hungry Devin Levi? That's all I'm looking at. And you know what? Listen,
I
could be talked off this ledge.
I think now you're overthinking it. I think your team's playing well. Your goalie is clearly your number one goalie. You're going with him. It's as simple as that. The conversation is, if I will be on that coaching staff, is he hurt? Nope. All right. Get some fluids, kid. Get a good night rest. Take the morning skate off. Be ready to battle tonight.
What do you think, Pete? Do you think that's going to be the direction?
You're probably going to end up just playing your future duo is what it is. I think that's kind of come down to the reality, right? Like that's maybe where they're at.
Yeah, big one tonight. Scoreboard watching should be fun. Whatever feelings you have today might be completely changed tomorrow, right? Because
that is the definition of emotional roller coaster.
At this point of the year, it is because... I mean, the loss to Detroit pretty much sealed the deal. And then all these other teams around you are losing, and then you win, and you're right there again.
That loss to Detroit really sucks. Really sucks.
Yeah, but then to win the next, you know, in Seattle really helps.
Quick update. I put out a poll. Who should the Sabres start tonight in Vancouver? UPL, Levi, or Comrie? 55% of the votes are for Devin Levi. 42 for UPL and 3 for Comrie. So you know all my accounts are the ones pounding down on the Comrie one. And all the Levi votes are from Don Granato's burner accounts.
And Ribs.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Starting Thursday, March 21st through Sunday, March 24th, and Saturday, April 6th, It's the college basketball tournament watch parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends during March and April in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
The coolest news that came out yesterday was the fact that the NHL and Netflix are going to link up and follow 10 to 12 star players around the league, kind of like how they do with the golf, because I'm not a golf fan. But I got to tell you, I've ripped through the second season of Full Swing. You know, the behind the scenes of the tennis has been unbelievable with what's that called? Point Break or Break Point?
Break Point, I believe.
It all started with the Formula One, which has hooked millions and millions and millions of people.
Saved the sport.
Did it? I mean, you followed it for years. Did it?
It did.
I didn't realize that it was in such dire need because I never followed it. I never even knew who Lewis Hamilton was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At that time, it
saved the sport.
So I think it's a great idea, but I think they have to pick the right guys to follow.
That's everything. It's everything in a nutshell is making sure that you have the right players.
Yeah, but most of these,
Russ. Players are like snooze fests.
Well, are they though? Are they your snooze fest because all you see is an interview post game or whatever, and it's all the same, right? But I think the way all these shows, what Petey just mentions, why they are good is because they have hundreds of hours of content, and then they just take out the best things. They can make a player, sound exciting, sound this, just like this podcast, right? We're on for 2 hours, and then it's 27 minutes long. So Petey makes
you guys all played. You guys all played with a player that you're thinking in your mind right now that you're like, oh, my Lord, this guy.
Derek Roy.
You're thinking the Don?
Oh, Derek Roy.
Like, for me, I mean, it would be bestseller if you were following around Sheldon Surrey.
I want them to do Crosby.
But that's my whole point, though. Like a Crosby, I mean, back in the day when we played, they would have made Ryan Miller on the show look like a Sheldon Surrey just because of the amount of content you have. And there's going to be minutes of clips.
There's not enough content out there to make Millsy. You know, Millsy is just he's like a professor.
Right.
He's, but like his nickname should be the professor.
But my whole point is even a guy like him, and obviously we all love Millsy and we know what he's all about, but even a guy like him, they would have made it would have been fun to watch, right? Because they know those people, the producers, they know what to look for. But then you throw in like a Kachuk. I would do both Kachuks, you know, to see their lifestyles and this. It would be great.
One in South Beach, one in Ottawa, one shoveling snow, and the other one just jet skiing to the rink.
Just chirping him, sending his brother every day a video, right? A clip of him taking a golf cart to the rink. And how's it going up there in Ottawa? I think it's a great idea by the league. It's going to be fun.
That's awesome.
I'm really excited about that. I, like I said, you know, what I love about today's game is you have these young players making a ton of money, and you're going to get to see the different aspects of where players play. You just mentioned it the best. You're going to get to see a Brady Kachuk in a winter storm driving to the rink in his truck, right? Trying to get the slush off the car.
And then they're going to do the contrast where they zoom over and there's Matthew going in his golf cart. 100%.
Exactly. Like, I mean, they're just different lifestyles.
You're not going to get McDavid. You're not going to get those guys, but I would love to see Sidney Crosby. I would love to see what he does behind the scenes.
And why though? Why?
Because he's been a mystery.
He's a friggin' Houdini, man.
The guy is the goes greatest to the rank. Mystery.
Dazzles, and then all of a sudden you don't hear one single word about his life away from the game. I don't know how he does it because he's literally one of the most polarizing hockey players to play in the last 10 to 15 plus years. It's like, how do we not know more about what's going on in his life?
I think I want to see his house too. As private
I
want to
see his man cave.
As private as he is, I think he'd be down for that because he was watching that Drive to Survive during the pandemic. I remember they were interviewing players like, what are you doing during the pandemic? He's like, I've really been watching this Drive to Survive. So he's a guy I would love to see. Auston Matthews, same thing.
Talking to the Biebs on FaceTime and just like getting to watch these guys interact with like stars and stuff. That's what I want to see.
Does the market matter? How much does the market matter? I mean, would you want a Cole Caulfield in Montreal? I mean, does it need to be 100%, somebody on
yes.
Edmonton? I mean, 10 to 12 players.
I think that's what makes it interesting, right? You got to pick players from the big markets, Canadian markets, and then you got to go, like we said, the Kachucks in Florida, pick a guy in Carolina, pick a guy in Buffalo, like, you know, got to go to the West Coast to LA, like just the different unique lifestyles, I think would be very interesting to see for people.
Tell me a player, Thomas, doesn't have to be a Sabre, just a former teammate that you would have loved to have seen a Netflix crew following around.
Probably Ott. I think Steve Otter would have been fun. Maybe they can still do it as an assistant coach in St. Louis. You know, I think he would have been he has a great personality, as we know. I think he would have been great at this.
Great person, great teammate, warrior on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's transitioned into coaching in the game, doing a great job. And it's funny, the other day I was watching on X, I was watching a video of him where he's coaching on the bench in one of these games.
I know what you're talking about.
All of a sudden, the crowd starts going nuts, Petey. So Ott, in the game, kind of glances his eyes up to the Videotron, and his son has his shirt off, waving it around in the air with no shirt on in the stands. And the fans were going crazy because this kid's, you know, no shirt on. And Steve Ott, just like literally, it was priceless if you were to see his face.
Pick one player from the Sabres, each of you.
I know Greenway a little bit. I think people would enjoy him because he's a super chill dude. I think it would be interesting to see a big man, how chill he is. So, yeah, I would pick him.
I would probably say my number one guy that I would want to see would be Jeff Skinner. No, I'm dead.
And you know what's amazing is I know serious. You're being absolutely dead serious.
I am absolutely dead serious. I would love to see what this guy does, you know, in his off time, you know, and just kind of see what he is about.
That's what I want to see him for where he lives in the off season. I mean, this guy must have a setup that he knows he's going to every single year for 1,000 games. Why man, Skinner?
This kid Skinner rip? Because he's banked a shit bomb of money, man. Like he had a 6-year deal for $6 million and then signs another 8-year deal for $72 million. The guy has made an absolute ungodly amount of money. I don't think he has kids. I would just love to see what he's doing, like his pad in the summertime, like where he goes, you know, where he spends his summer. He's probably on the lake up in the Muskokas. Maybe, I don't know, but he's a different bird. He's a funny kid. Like you look at Between Two Ferns or whatever they were doing, you know, it's just, he seems like he wants to enjoy himself, that he wants to have fun, that he's got a young soul to him. And I would like to know more about him. He's the one kid that I've been harder on than any other player on this team times 100. I want to know more about him. I want to know, and I don't know if I'll ever have that opportunity, but I would like to know more about the person what makes him tick? Has he just been, has he been stuck on bad teams for 14 years and that's why he hasn't made the playoffs? Like, or like, what is, I would like to know more about him. Highest paid player on the team, scores an insane amount of points and goals, one of the top 5-on-5 point producers in the last 8 years in the league. We're talking with the likes of Crosby and all those top end guys. So I want to know more about him.
Fair points. Ovi added two more last night. He's at 21.
Oh, he's going to be, it's not even a question that.
Yeah, it's not a question anymore, but it's just that he's.
Well, it was a question. It was a question.
Not to me.
No, we knew he'd get 20 this year. He'll get 20 for the next 3 years. Easy. That's easy for him.
Well, the last time we spoke about that.
20 for Ovi is like zero for me.
Listen, the last time we go back, Petey, the last time we talked about this, Ovi had 8 goals and you were concerned that he was going to score 15.
Yeah, now he's going to get 25.
And
goal scorers always find a way to score goals, especially on the power play. He's going to get his looks. They're going to come in and he's going to go in streaks where in 10 games, he's going to have 8-9 goals.
Yeah, they were both power play goals last night.
How many do you think he can get? So he has 15 games left this season, Van. He's at 20 goals. Like, it would be stupid to even
think about. He could end at 35. He could end at 21.
Oh, he'll end up at 25, 26. I would say 5-6 more goals.
You guys want to make a little friendly wager? I'm going to bet you that Ovi gets to 30.
Man, and how many games are left?
15.
That's Ovi pace.
It's really tough for him to do that. I would love nothing more. Oh my God.
He scored 10 goals in the first 3 games last year, 2 years ago. I'm not worried about what he can do in multiple games.
I don't, that's a lot of goals. I would go. No, I'm saying he's going to get 5 or 6 more.
And that's, I think that would still be a damn good season.
Yeah, it's still a lot. Oh,
25 goals for how his season started? That's an incredible year, right?
He's at 21 right now, gentlemen. Sorry. He's at 21 goals. Can he score 9 goals in 15 games?
I just said he could.
Yes. Can he? Absolutely. I'm just saying a safe one is he's going to finish the year with 26, 27 goals, which is, again, it's incredible.
Still a good year.
If Ovi gets 30, the Caps are going to finish in the third place in the Metro.
100%. I agree with that.
Yeah. But you know who's playing good on that team is that Dylan Strome. And I still never understood why the Blackhawks just let him walk when he was an RFA.
They let him walk. He had 22 goals that year and 48 points, Vanner. 22 goals, 48 points in 69 games. So he still had 13 games that he could have played. I don't understand why they just released him. Like, they literally released him.
But what I don't understand, if they didn't want him or they didn't see him part of the future, how is there not one team out there that didn't know about this and be like, if you're just going to give him away, we'll give you a 5th-round pick or a 3rd-round pick.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't. There has to be something to this whole thing. Is it because he was probably going to go to arbitration and make too much? And teams didn't want to.
At the time, he was making $3 million. He had a 2-year deal. He was making $3 million a year. So then he left the Chicago Blackhawks and went to Washington to sign a 1-year deal for $3.5 million. And in that year, he had 23 goals and 65 points in 81 games. Then he ended up signing a long-term deal for $5 million a year for 5 years. So he's on that contract currently now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty damn good you know, payback for a player that's, you know, this year he's got 23 goals and 53 points, still has 15 games left. He's going to be a 65 point guy. That's pretty good for a $5 million guy.
It's amazing. Those are great numbers, right? And especially the role he's playing. He's playing top minutes for that team.
GM meetings. This stuff, have you guys been following any of this? The GM meetings? Not really.
Very little.
Very little. Read a couple of articles, but not, you know, listen, I mean, this happens every year where they have the meetings. They go down there to Florida, hang out, get some sun, and, you know, try and make the game better, which is like, what are they saying right now for the
They're just talking about 3-on-3 and you know, things they can tinker with, and players bringing it back, and, you know, cycling the puck back and regrouping. And but 70% of the games are finishing in overtime and not going to a shootout. So I think they've kind of successfully accomplished what they were trying to accomplish. Now, there's one point I do want to make on this, which is why I wanted to bring it up. If most of the games are finishing in overtime, can we now take away the extra point for an overtime loss? Like, if it goes to a shootout, let's give the team an extra point. You get to a shootout, you played your 65 minutes, 30% of the games are going there, so who cares? You get an extra point for that. But if you lose in overtime, because you look at the standings, you got all these teams that got fucking shootout losses. One team has what, 10? 10 shootout losses? Overtime losses? So I'm just saying, get rid of that.
Boston Bruins have 15 OT losses.
Same with the Islanders, I think, right?
Yeah, the Islanders are up there too.
Islanders are at 15. Montreal Canadiens are at 11. Columbus Blue Jackets are at 11.
But I disagree with you there, Petey, because you're telling me you're going to battle your ass off for 60 minutes, and then all of a sudden you go and play 3-on-3 hockey, which is a way different type of game than a 5-on-5 game, and then you don't get a point. You don't get anything for the 60 minutes you battled. If anything, I would rather see the you know, what they do in Europe. It's the
3-2-1.
Yeah. That would be more entertaining, I believe. But you're not gonna, that's never gonna happen because of the history of the game and all the records and this and this and this, but you can't take away a point from a team that battled hard for 60 minutes. I don't know if I like that.
Okay. I grew up in an era where there were just ties, right?
Yeah.
So I still like the tie. I still, because you know why I like the tie? And I'll give you a great example. A few years ago, the Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks came into Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And beat it was probably around the year they were tanking for Jack Eichel, and the Sabres took them to a shootout, right? And you're sitting there and you're like, okay, here comes a shootout, and we lose the shootout. And I'm just kind of like, why even fucking do that? Like, if a Stanley Cup champion team loaded that loaded can't come into Buffalo and beat the worst team in the league who's tanking for a player, you don't deserve the extra fucking point. And in theory, the Sabres technically should have just stolen a point from the Stanley Cup champions, as opposed to, let's let them have the extra point because they have more skilled players, they have a better goalie. That's my only point to that. So, I mean, there's many different angles you can go with it, mm-hmm. but there's flaws in every different angle. But that was a night here in Buffalo years ago that I remember, and I was like, I just think that extra point is a little bit bullshit. They should just go back to a tie.
You know, we played the game, and me as an athlete and as a competitor, I don't mind the tie, but you know why they got rid of the ties? Because it's for the people. They don't want to walk away from paying hundreds of dollars to come watch a game and walk away with a tie. They want a result, and I do understand that. I would say get rid of the shootout and just play 3-on-3 until somebody scores.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where that goes. That's not going anywhere. We know that.
That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder for all the events coming up at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasinos.com for all the information for Eclipse watch parties. There's a wine event coming up. There's concerts coming up. Wheel of Fortune's coming. Go check it out, SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.